16 through 18. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Let's pray. All right. So last week, in verses 12 through 15, in Romans 8, Paul was explaining to the Christians something that they needed to hear. And of course, it wasn't just for that time then, but it's something that we as believers need to hear today, because it's an issue that all Christians wrestle with. At some point in this Christian walk, in this journey that we're upon, we will wrestle with this question. It's the assurance of your salvation. There's not a single one of us in here that is a believer that hasn't questioned themselves at one point in time, am I truly saved? Every Christian will ask themselves that question. And it's a fair question. And you say, why is it a fair question? It's a fair question now because God has brought you to the understanding of what the Scripture says. God has laid this out before you that you understand that if you are a rebel against God, if you are a sinner against God who does not repent and believe in the Lord and Savior, an eternal damnation is waiting for you. So it's now with this understanding, with this new mind that God has given us, we will question ourselves. Am I truly saved? Because I do not want what's at the end of this life if I am not a true believer. Man, thankfully, Paul answers this very question for us in the verses that we covered last week, verses 12 through 15. And what does Paul say about this question that we, as every single Christian, will end up dealing with? Paul says, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will assure you of your salvation. The very Spirit that Jesus sent upon you because God chose you before the foundation of the world. See, it's that Holy Spirit that's dwelling within us that's going to give us the confidence that we are believers in Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that's regenerated your spiritually dead heart and brings you to believe, brings you to spiritual life. It's the Holy Spirit that transforms that inner man. And it's because of that transformation of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, transforming that inner man, that you no longer love the sins that you used to crave and desire. It is now and only now because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you that you despise the same things that God despises. Whereas before the Holy Spirit dwelt inside you, there was no reason for you to repent of your sins. You didn't care if you offended God or not because you hated God. You were at war with God before the Holy Spirit came upon you. But now because of the Holy Spirit leading you, when you sin, what happens? You feel remorse. There's sorrow, there's pain, and it's because of the Holy Spirit that you are now repenting. Why? Because you've been transformed. Your mind is awake. It's alive. It understands the very word. It's a supernatural gift that has been given to you. It is because of the Holy Spirit, whenever you rebel against God, you fall to your knees and you repent of your sins. It is now because of the Holy Spirit that when you sin, it's like a sledgehammer hitting you in the gut. It's that pain, that sorrow, that remorse that is there. It is also because of the Holy Spirit. No longer are you enslaved to sin. You can deny it now, and guess what? You can kill it daily. Whereas before you craved that sin, much like a junkie craves that next hit. But now you hate it. The Holy Spirit does something else. He brings you close to God. And you didn't want that before. You wanted nothing to do with God beforehand. You say, wait, Britt, there, I wanted love, I wanted peace, I wanted all those things. What you wanted was the attributes of God, but only certain attributes. You didn't want God. But the Holy Spirit now brings you close to Him. And it's because of the Holy Spirit that you call God Abba, Father. Because when God calls you by way of the Holy Spirit, He has adopted you from being a child of wrath to being a child of God. Now, this is the reassurance that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. If this sounds like you now, if this sounds like what is taking place inside you, then rest assured your salvation is secured in the Holy Spirit. He's not going anywhere. His residency is permanent. The Holy Spirit cannot be evicted. You cannot evict the Spirit. Hear me, you are not powerful enough to evict the Spirit. Even though that we are still in the flesh, and that's where that sin lingers, is in the flesh, that inner man has been transformed, regenerated. The Holy Spirit's not going anywhere. However, brothers and sisters, if you know someone who claims Christ and yet still lives like hell, Monday through Saturday, there's no change, there's no transformation, pray for them. Go to them. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you strength to confront them. Because listen, we're only here a small amount of time. It's the blink of an eye. But when you think about eternity, do not let that person who claims Christ and yet you see in their life there is no Spirit dwelling within them, do not let them get away from you. Ask for the Spirit to lead and guide you. He will. He will. All right, let's jump into Romans 8, 16 through 18. So the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, what is Paul doing? Paul is still on this same line of thinking. He's answering this question, am I truly saved? He's wanting to drive this point home. So Paul is still reassuring the Romans back then, and guess what? You today of your salvation. Writing to them about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is constantly reminding that inner man that He has transformed that they are a child of God. Now you may be asking, how does He do that? And I would say, well, that's a very good question. Glad you asked that because it goes along with my notes. So how do you know? Well, do you now look forward to hearing the Word? Is the Word becoming clearer to you when you read the Scripture or when you hear a teaching? Do you now ponder on what you've read or what you just heard? Do you look forward to being in the presence of other believers? Do you look forward to that time of fellowship? And when you sin, are you greatly troubled? That wasn't you before. But now, because the Holy Spirit dwelling within, when you go against God, when you sin against Him, when you rebel against Him, it's that same feeling that comes upon you, and all you want to do is repent. That's that Holy Spirit dwelling within you. That's Him saying, your salvation is secure because I am here, and I'm not going anywhere. When you see sin, are you greatly troubled? when you look at what's going on out in the world today, amen, amen. She knows where I'm coming from. When you look at what's going on out in the world today, and you see these riots over these so-called racial protests, and let's be honest, that's not really what this is about. This is man's fallen nature boiling over. You can call it neo-Nazis, the KKK, and that line of thinking is horrendous. But that is just natural man's fallen state. They are doing what they want to do. And then you have the other side who's supposedly protesting against that, and yet it's the same thing. It's wicked. It's man's fallen state. It's them craving that sin. It's them acting out. It is sin. That's what it is, bottom line. This is the world that we live in. This world that we live in today, marriage is being redefined. It's no longer man and woman, but man and man, woman and woman. Today in the world, we are celebrating men and women mutilating their own body, pumping chemicals into their system so that they can look like the opposite sex. And we praise them for that. We have men and women marching the streets, making sure that they are still able to murder babies, murder babies because it's an inconvenience. We have families crumbling because men are no longer in the household or are no longer leading the household spiritually. Now I ask you, when you see these things, do they trouble you greatly? That's the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. But let's take it a step further, because let me show you something else that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit brings you to pray for these individuals. It wants you to be sitting in the same church pew with these individuals. Do you know why? Because you're no better than these individuals. You're not. You are a sinner just like them. And it's only by God's grace and mercy that you believe. Let me tell you something. I would much rather be sitting in a church with prostitutes, murderers, drug addicts, whatever the case may be, who have repented and believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, than many pastors in the U.S. today. When you look out into the world and you see these tragedies taking place, do you see the mission field? That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Pray for these individuals. Reach out to these individuals. Pray that God's grace and mercy falls upon them the same way it did you. Please remember, you are no better than they are. It's only by God's grace and mercy that you believe. When you read the Word, do you love it? When you read the Word and you're looking at the Scripture, and you're able to actually discern what is taking place, when you're able to look at what God hates, and your thoughts and your ideas begin to line up with that, or when you look and see what God loves, do your thoughts and your ideas line up with that? That's the Holy Spirit at work in you, bringing you to a greater understanding, maturing you in the faith, and all the while reminding you that you are a child of God. And look, I'm not just talking about feelings and emotions. Because we've talked about this numerous times. I don't know what drugs you've done in the past, so that could just be some type of wicked flashback coming back on you. I don't know what you ate the night before that's giving you this type of feeling or emotion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the inner workings of the Holy Spirit and Him bringing you to a greater understanding of the Word. And what does that mean when that happens? If you have a greater understanding of the Word, then you have a greater understanding of God. Because look, church, this, the Scripture, is the only way that you can know God, by His objective Word. Not by dreams or visions or some nonsensical gibberish flowing from the mouth of someone claiming they are speaking in tongues. It's all from the Scripture, Scripture alone. And how do you think you understand that? How do you think you grasp that? The Holy Spirit bringing you to that understanding. So whenever that doubt comes upon you about your salvation, ask the Holy Spirit to provide you assurance. He will. It's one of the ways the Holy Spirit ministers to the believer. You say, how does He do that? Am I supposed to hear a voice? No. I hear voices all the time. I have to take medicine for it. That's not what I'm telling you. Right? It's not voices in your head that you're going to be hearing. It's when you pick up the Bible and you read it and you believe it and you know that it is God's Word. That's the Holy Spirit reassuring you that you are a child of God. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Okay, now this is something maybe new to some of you all. But we must understand something as we work our way through the Scripture, and it's this. We must understand that not everyone is a child of God. You say, what? No, we are all His creations. He created us, but His creation does not get to call Him Abba Father. Only the ones that God has adopted are able to have this intimate relationship with Him. And listen, church, there's a reason why these words are used. Just in the last verses last week that we covered, the word adoption was in there. Words have meanings. Even in this postmodern world that we live in today, words still have meaning. When he talks about adoption, what does adoption mean? We know that there will be an orphanage. Parents go into that orphanage and they pick the child they want to take home with them. The child isn't over there saying, I'm going home with you. I want you. That's not how adoption works. It is the parent choosing that child. That's the reason why adoption is used. Because as a child of wrath, that's when you exit the womb, you are a sinner, a child of wrath, you do not want God. It is God that comes and picks you, grabs a hold of you. That's the reason why the word adoption is used here. We're in the previous verses. So, back up that we are not all children of God. See, we all start out as His creation, but we do not all end up His children. It's only for those whose God's glorious grace and mercy falls upon, who He sends the Holy Spirit upon. And you know what? They did not do a single thing to deserve it. It wasn't because of any good works that they ever did. It wasn't because of their skin color. It had nothing to do with their bank account or who their parents are, nor did it have anything to do with their education. It all has to do with whom He chooses to adopt. And once God adopts that child, they are His heirs. And what does it mean to be an heir? That you will receive the reward of your inheritance. Much like an earthly inheritance, it is determined who receives it and the value of that in which they receive by the one who gives it. Think about this. I don't know if any of you all have ever inherited anything. But there you are, you may have a lawyer contact you and say, you know, this was left to you. Did you tell that person what they were going to leave you? You may have tried, but that doesn't mean they're going to do it. Again, words mean something. So when you are or an heir of God, He determines what you are going to receive. But listen to this. This is something that we sometimes we tend to want to gloss over. There are certain things that we do not want to hear. Okay, and let's just be honest here. Not everyone is going to be an heir of God. So I know some of us, we have children, and you're concerned, and you're like, well, how do I know if my child is going to be adopted by God? How do I know if they're going to be an heir of God? What does this mean? The Spirit's going to lead you. Are you raising them in a godly home? Are you putting them in a sound biblical church? Are they sitting underneath sound biblical teaching? Are you exposing them to the gospel? Are they hearing it? Because guess what, church? The way God chooses and how He grabs a hold of that person by way of the Holy Spirit is that person hearing the word. So if you're concerned about your child, don't look for the church with the best programs, that have the best pizza parties, that have the loudest music, that has the pastor wearing the hip skinny jeans. If they're not hearing the gospel, I don't care how many people they're packing in. It's a dangerous place. Love your children enough to make that decision for them. They don't get to make that decision. So let's go back to this word inheritance. What is this inheritance, this reward that we're talking about? It's quite simple. This reward for all believers who are children of God, that are His heirs. It's eternal life with Him. To be able to dwell among the Holy of Holies, the Creator of everything for eternity. No end, no sin, no sickness, no disease, no death, no loss, forever in His presence. He is the inheritance. Continuing in verse 17, and fellow heirs with Christ. So we are to receive the same inheritance as Christ. Yeah, absolutely. The same inheritance as the one, the anointed one, the sinless one, the one who is fully God and fully man. Fellow heirs with Him? That one? Yes. Jesus. See, here in the earthly realm, when we talk about an inheritance, depending on how many kids, grandkids, or family members are there, whenever that person is gone, he leaves that inheritance. It's divided up. And depending on how loving and caring the person is, maybe somewhat evenly divided up, except for Uncle Larry, who's a bit of a troublemaker, and he may not get that much. But anyway, so it's divided up. It's not proportionally sound. We'll put it that way. But with God, it's not divided. He's God. He can give all the inheritance to all of His children. And you say, well, how is that? That doesn't make any sense. And I say, well, He's God. He makes the rules, not you. So if He says it, that's what we're going with. So everything that Christ received, the heirs will receive as well. All, not portions split up to make it fair. were not fair if you weren't liked. But all. Now, what does this mean to be fellow heirs with Christ? Now, one day, follow along with me here. One day, just as Christ ascended into heaven, you, as a believer, will enter into heaven. And guess what? God will see you as righteous and not as a sinner. You will be seen as righteous. God will look at you the same way He looks at Christ. For God's children are righteous. But not only will you be seen as righteous, but you have also been made just by His grace. Meaning the reason you will not answer for your sins against God, because there are plenty to answer for, is because Christ took the wrath of God that day on the cross 2,000 years ago for those who believe, His adopted children. And there is a peace. There is a peace you receive in knowing that you are just. And you say, well, how do I become just? There's not a formula that you follow, that you work out on your own. It's not because of anything that you have done, but by what Christ did for you, you will be seen as righteous. He made you just. And now, knowing what awaits you after you leave this earth, it's not that you're going to be standing before an angry God with wrathful vengeance waiting for you. No. You're going to be standing before a loving and compassionate God, welcoming you into the eternal heaven. There's a peace in that. There's only fear and anxiety in knowing that you will have to answer for your sins. The inheritance continues. Just as Christ received a new body after His crucifixion and death, so it shall be for us. A sweet relief the day that old, lingering, sinful corpse is put to rest and a new body is given to you. One that does not stink of sin, nor one that is stained with wickedness, but a new and pure body that will never be tainted with filth. One that will live forever. Continuing, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Wait. Time out. I'm okay with this inheritance thing, but this word suffer, I don't know if I want to go there. Joel Osteen doesn't preach on suffering. Because he's a false teacher. Notice it says, provided we suffer. It could also read, if we use the definition, provided, when it comes to the word provided, is on the condition or understanding that. So it could read, on the condition or understanding that we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So let's be clear, believers. You will suffer for Christ. But when you suffer with Him, understand that this is also assurance of your salvation. You will be persecuted for believing in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that He is the Messiah. You will be persecuted for this. You will suffer for this. We understand that the world despises God and all who follow Jesus. So let's back this up with Scripture. Let's go to John 15, 18 through 19. Look what it says here. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose, there's that word again, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world is not going to like you. Let's get that through our heads, okay? That's why health, wealth, prosperity, gospel, It's from the devil. So, believer, know that this persecution is coming. It may be by way of verbal assault. It could be that of physical violence, rejection, family and friends denying you, or you may very well be martyred for your belief. You may be killed for your faith. But whatever it may be, you know that because of that affliction, you are truly one of His children. Although this doesn't sound uplifting or positive, it is. Expect in some way, shape, or form to be abused, assaulted, or maybe even killed for following Christ. But know this, you will not be destroyed. The enemy cannot destroy you. Nor can he take you away from the one who rescued you by way of adoption. He can't. For Christ crushed the serpent's head, broke the bondage of sin, paid the believer's debt in full when he bled out on the cross. Rest assured that even during the times of persecution and torture, that you are in the hands of the Father. And the Spirit is dwelling within you. Coming to a close, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So it's almost like Paul is stating, yeah, you're going to be cursed out. You may lose your job. Your relationship may end. Your family may disown you. But it's only for a short period of time. Now, Paul's a thinker. He's a logical man, a man who carefully chooses his words before he writes them down. And you may be asking, well, how do you know that? Well, because the Holy Spirit was telling him what to write, so I think we can say that he was carefully choosing his words as the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding him. So when he says, consider, for I consider. So when he says consider, there's been a lot of thought put into this, especially from the man who's been beaten, stoned. I mean literally like rocks being thrown at his head, stoned that way, to the point to where actually those rocks bouncing off his head, he was hit so many times the people hurling the rocks at him thought that he was dead. Been beaten with rods. He was imprisoned, shipwrecked, bit by a snake. So when Paul says that the sufferings of this present time no way compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us, I think we should listen to this man. Because I can almost guarantee you there's not a single person sitting in the pews in here today will go through the abuse that Paul went through. And if Paul, who was almost killed numerous times, can sit there and say, but this, while we're walking this earth as believers and as we're being persecuted, that's nothing. Small period of time. But he's saying when we do suffer, we are not alone, for we know that other brothers and sisters are suffering with us. They too are being attacked, being persecuted, beaten, imprisoned. And we know that as believers, when we suffer, we are glorifying God because we are being obedient, refusing to deny Him just for some type of comfort or relief. Think about it. If someone's hurling rocks at your head and as they're bouncing off your skull, they're saying, all you have to do is recant Christ and we'll quit hurling these stones at you. If you recant Christ, you'll get your job back. If you deny Christ, your family will love you again. Just deny Him, and we will not chop off your head. Just deny him and all this will stop. But a Christian cannot deny him. Because for a Christian, how can there be any relief in denying the one who created you, who rescued you, who bled for you, who adopted you? There would be no comfort in that. That would be hell on earth. And the Holy Spirit, dwelling within you, who's transformed you, will bring you through that pain, that suffering. Even if it means your death, He's leading and guiding. Not only is He leading and guiding you, but as you've studied the Word, you poured into the Scripture, you listen to numerous teachings, as these things are taking place to you, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the very Scripture verses that will bring you comfort and understanding what's taking place. That constant reminder that you've been adopted by God, that you've been made righteous by Christ who bled out for you, who died on the cross for you. It's the Spirit sustaining you every step of the way and reminding you that the time spent on this earth is nothing. It's a blink of an eye when compared to an eternity of peace with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray.